Today's scripture is taken from Romans 8, 1 through 4. And it reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Happy Chinese New Year. So New Year's is a time of resolutions and new beginnings, and it's kind of fun for us as Chinese Americans. In a way, we get two New Year's, right? We have the global one, New Year's Day, January 1st, and if you make resolutions, you kind of get a second chance if you break those resolutions, because we as Chinese Americans said, or Chinese people can say, oh, well, we have our second New Year. We'll redo those resolutions or make different ones. But it is a time of celebration and also a time I would encourage us to reflect. Reflect what is happening in your own lives, joys and concerns, and how you are working in service to the church or at work or as a parent or an auntie or uncle or teacher or all that you do. And in this time of New Year, I want us also to continue to reflect on forgiveness. We've talked these past few Sundays on the forgiveness we receive from God. What a great gift it is that the Lord gives us forgiveness. The importance of forgiving others when others have wronged us or when we feel we have been unjust, we need to be able to offer forgiveness because it is a lesson that Jesus teaches us. And last Sunday I talked about, and will continue this Sunday, talking about the importance of being able to forgive ourselves, to forgive yourself as well. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you to hear your word, and I ask, Lord, that you use my words to show your will for us, the scripture passages as it speaks to us, and the call that you have for us. Learning today about forgiveness, we will self-reflect. We will reflect on the word and the scripture before us, and we ask, Lord, that these reflections be acceptable in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So of the types of forgiveness, the forgiveness we receive from God, the forgiveness that we give to others, or the forgiveness we ask from others, and the forgiveness we give of ourselves, sometimes they say that the hardest one is the forgiveness of our own selves. Aren't we sometimes our own worst critic? Aren't we sometimes so wanting to be in control of our lives that when we do wrong and we know we've done wrong, it's very hard to forgive ourselves? Today, during the Sunday school hour, I will take the time to share with those who are interested what is happening in the General United Methodist Church globally. United Methodist Church representatives will gather at the end of the month in February in St. Louis to talk specifically about human sexuality and what it means to churches who follow the word of Scripture, the Book of Discipline, and the United Methodist Rules. And as I was preparing for this lesson for today, I was thinking back on General Conference. What General Conference is every 4 years, United Methodist voted delegates who are voted in by their annual conference area get sent to make the rules and the regulations about the church. It all goes into what we call our United Methodist Book of Discipline, kind of like the constitution that the United Methodist people follow. And every 4 years, delegates from all over the world gather, about 1,000 in all, to vote on this Book of Discipline, to keep certain words in, to put in new words or to change things. So if you ask me about any topic, slavery, war, money, the answer or the what our rules and beliefs are would be found as United Methodist in the Book of Discipline. And so I myself have had the chance and the opportunity to go to three of these general conferences. I was blessed to be voted as a delegate from our own California Pacific Conference area. And attending in 2000, 2004, and 2008, I have a really fun memory of my first general conference gathering. And at this gathering, it was at Cleveland, Ohio, and you spend 2 weeks in the conference center of Cleveland, Ohio, talking about legislation, voting on things, and hearing reports, and having wonderful worship services. And the first day there, it was just registration, and they offered different tours of Cleveland, Ohio. So I and some friends went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that's in Cleveland, Ohio. Another minister from our group, our conference area, he went to the baseball stadium where the Cleveland Indians play, and all these other things happened. The minister that went to the baseball stadium bought a baseball cap, and do you all know who the mascot is of the Cleveland Indians? It's an Indian red-faced character. It's a very bad characterization of Native American Indians, and some find it actually very offensive. So the minister bought a baseball cap, and he thought it was so fun, and the baseball cap had that Indian character on a patch on his baseball cap. It had a big nose and big beady eyes and the feather, and just a very bad characterization, unjust in a way, of the Native American Indian people. The minister didn't realize what he had done was not really accepted. He had went to that tour with other people, he had bought the cap, and he came back to the conference proud of that cap. And when he walked in the conference hall, there were actually people protesting the Cleveland Indians. They had signs with that same logo, and it crossed out in their banners, and Native American Indian people were there in traditional dress and talking about how hurtful and offensive this image was. And the minister felt remorseful. He felt so guilty that then throughout the conference, he actually sat next to me because they alternated us, clergy, lay, and I wasn't ordained yet, so I sat next to him. The whole 2 weeks he spent trying to get that patch off his baseball cap. And I don't know if you ever tried to do that, and I never will, seeing his experience. It was very hard for him to do. He started off first by just trying to pick that patch off, but it was sewn on really tight. He got his money's worth, you know. And then he discovered his keys. I guess he had one set. It was a smaller key. He could try to pick off the stitching from the patch with his keys. And that didn't work. And one of our conference delegates who sat on the other side of him, she had tweezers, so she gave him her tweezers. And he again tried to pick. So whenever we had free time during legislation discussions or when we weren't voting or when we weren't reading something, he would take out the tweezer and just pick at that baseball cap. Soon, I and our other delegation members, we felt bad for him. We actually became worried for him because he was so engrossed in getting that patch off. And we would say to David, it was Reverend David Tinoco, we'd say, David, it's okay. You don't have to do that. You know, one member even felt so bad he offered to buy David another cap that didn't have that Indian face on it. And David said, no, this is my shame. This is my guilt. It is my burden to bear. And he continued to pick at that. We did see, in a way, a change of him, of when he was picking, and then finally when he got that patch off, he felt so relieved, and he did wear that cap proudly. It looked very awkward, because then it was just a blue cap, I think it said Orioles somewhere on the cap, and then this empty space where the patch had used to be, and you could kind of see some of the stitching that was left, but he wore that cap the rest of the conference. In a way, I think his guilt that he had been feeling had then been relieved. But it was guilt that he had placed on himself. It wasn't shame that that I and the other delegation members said, oh, how could you buy this hat? He saw the people who had been protesting, but they never jeered at him, or they never confronted him, or they never tried to take the cap off from him. It was his own self-imposed guilt that he had put upon himself, feeling bad about the action that he had done. And he let it rule for him for nearly a week and a half until he was able to get that patch off. He then explained later to our delegation that every time he would pick at that patch with a tweezer, he was in a way saying a prayer, asking God for forgiveness. And every time he felt he was getting closer to getting that patch off and tried to tug it off, but it wouldn't tug off, he felt so rejected. He was, in a way, letting that burden weigh him down. When we do an action that we know is wrong, whether intentional or unintentional, we can let that burden or guilt weigh us down. But God doesn't want us to live that type of life. He doesn't want us to live that type of life, so much so that He offers us unconditional forgiveness. And we know that if God can offer us that unconditional forgiveness and love for us, then we must be able to do that for our own selves, to forgive our own selves, to not be that harshest critic, to not let a burden weigh us down, and to receive God's love and forgiveness. And as I shared last Sunday, there are ways that we need to be able to forgive ourselves, things we can do. The first is to change our own belief system. The second is to understand God's divine forgiveness, the scripture passage examples that we have about God's divine forgiveness. And the third is to live a life in Christ and the Holy Spirit. So when Paul speaks to the people of Rome in this morning's passage, and he tells them right off there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, he is telling them to forgive themselves of their sins, to know that God has forgiven them for their sins. God sacrificed his own son on the cross for forgiveness of sins. And they must in turn realize that that is a way for them to forgive themselves. He is telling them that, yes, you must also change your belief system. You must understand God's divine forgiveness, and you must live a life in Christ with the Holy Spirit. Reminding you that, as I spoke last Sunday, changing your belief system, we have sort of an unhealthy system where when we feel guilt, we will let it weigh us down. We will let it affect our actions. It might even freeze us where we are no longer able to act because we are so frozen with the guilt we have. God doesn't want us to experience that. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 3 from this morning, the first part of that verse says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." Remember, one of the first things that I said last Sunday about changing your belief system is to, yes, admit you are a sinner. And that is okay. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'll have you do what I had you do last Sunday. Say, "I am a sinner. I am a sinner." And turn to your neighbor and say, "I am a sinner. I am a sinner." But that is an okay thing to do. To admit you have sinned, to recognize that sin, and to say it out loud, to change your belief system, to not hide from sin, to know, yes, you have sinned, whether it's breaking one of God's laws or the moral laws of Moses that are spoken about in scripture passages, when you deny God, when you are weak, or when you hurt another person, or even when you deny yourself something, it's a sin. And God doesn't want us to live that type of life. So admit you have sinned, ask for God's forgiveness, accept that forgiveness, and change your way of life to not let that sin or that burden weigh you down. You must also then think about ways that you can see the Holy Spirit moving within you, to understand that when we say we want to forgive ourselves means we receive God's forgiveness, to understand that the Holy Spirit moves within us, and to see the different scripture examples. We know there are many examples in the scripture about God forgiving, the way he forgives so many people. These are wonderful divine examples that we have. God forgave Peter when Peter denied knowing Christ 3 times because Peter then became a great leader of the church. God even forgave Pharaoh who imprisoned his people, but time after time, Pharaoh would not let the people of God go. But God still tried to offer him forgiveness many times through the messages of Moses. God forgave so many times, and if we see the scripture passage holding those wonderful examples of forgiveness, we must know that it can be applied to our own lives today. The wonderful words of God that were written over 2,000 years ago and put together for us the way that God speaks to us today, we see how the many examples of divine God's forgiveness is given, and we can live by those today. And lastly, I want to talk about living a life in Christ and the Holy Spirit, remembering that Paul said there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and those that just requirement of the law must be fulfilled, and walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We know, as Christians, Christ followers, Christians, that Christ died for our sins. We love that. We accept that. We are grateful for that. And to know and understand and accept that Christ died for our sins means truly accepting that. If Christ died for your sins so you may receive forgiveness, when you then don't forgive yourself, aren't you then denying Christ's death on the cross? How could you do that if you are a Christian? You should never deny Christ's death on the cross. Instead, you must say, "Christ died for my sins even before I was born. He died for the sins of the world. I truly accept that and acknowledge it and know what it means. So then I know I must be able to forgive myself. Because if Christ died for my sins, I don't want it to be a useless act. He died so I may receive forgiveness. I receive that forgiveness and I forgive myself." We must then live a life in Christ and the Holy Spirit, as Paul is telling the people of Rome to do in this morning's passage. We know we have all sinned. We know that God may judge. We know that God has sent us this gift of redemption through Jesus Christ. And we know we want to say we have Christ in our Lord. So yes, just a few minutes ago you have said, I have sinned. But now I invite you to say, Jesus died for my sins. Say it out loud together. Jesus died for my sins. And now turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. And I know we said it to each other today with a smile and maybe some awkwardness, and that's okay. But the next time you do wrong and you know you have done wrong, whether intentional or unintentional, be able to forgive yourself, to say, yes, I have sinned, but also remember that second part, that Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for your sins, so you must not deny that death, and you must be able to forgive yourself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, then you are making the death of Christ useless in your life. Then you are not being a true and faithful Christian. You're not following the Holy Spirit, who then came to give the people power to tell about God's love and Christ for all. There's another passage I like that's from 1 John 4, verse 12, that says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We must make God's love complete in us by forgiving ourselves. Because if you don't forgive yourselves or don't have that change of attitude, don't believe in the divine examples that we receive in the Bible, and don't live a life of Christ, then you let your life be clouded instead by the burden of guilt, by the hatred for your own self or the act that you have done. And we don't want to have that in us. Because when we have that in us, then we do not have our complete devotion to God. We then become focused, just as David Tinoco did, as he kept picking and picking and picking at that patch on the baseball cap. And instead, we lose focus of God. So you must be able to know the importance of forgiving yourself, of living in Christ, of changing your own belief system, of seeing the divine examples, so that you say, yes, I forgive myself. And that is the final thing I want us to say together. Let's say, yes, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. And again, turn to your neighbor and say, yes, I forgive myself. Yes, I forgive myself. So I invite you, as this Chinese New Year's begins, to really think about that. You, yes, have sinned, but God has given you forgiveness. Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you should be able to forgive yourself to be able to live in Christ and be complete in God's eyes. Let us pray. Lord, how we come before you, sometimes broken and sometimes incomplete. But we know, Lord, that you heal us and that you love us and that you make us complete with your love. Through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven when we repent, when we see Christ and live in him and the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you help us to change our belief system about the judgment we have for ourselves. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to speak through us through the divine examples that you give us in Scripture. And we ask you, Lord, that you help us to live in Christ, to follow in his footsteps, to not make his death on the cross useless or forgettable, but instead to instill in us the great love that you gave through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may learn to forgive ourselves and to share your love with the world. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.